Before Edward Teach became the figure later remembered as Blackbeard, before his beard was twisted with ribbons and slow-burning fuses, and before frightened sailors claimed that he looked more like a devil than an ordinary man, he was almost invisible in the surviving record. This absence has encouraged generations of writers to turn the early years of his life into a stage for speculation. Some have made him the son of a wealthy family, others a sailor born into poverty, and still others an educated gentleman who deliberately embraced piracy after disappointment or war. The truth is less dramatic in one sense and more revealing in another. The man who became Blackbeard emerged from a maritime world in which violence, trade, imperial rivalry, privateering, slavery, and opportunity were deeply intertwined. His transformation did not happen in isolation. It was shaped by the Atlantic at the beginning of the 18th century, an ocean where legal commerce and criminal plunder often sailed under nearly identical sails. The name itself presents the first difficulty. Most historians identify Blackbeard with Edward Teach, though period sources also record variants such as Thatch, Thatch, and even Drummond in later retellings. Spelling in the early modern Atlantic was inconsistent, particularly for sailors, merchants, and colonial officials writing names they had heard rather than seen. Teach was likely pronounced much like Thatch, and the changing form of the name should not be taken as evidence that several different men stood behind the legend. Instead, it reflects the informal and unstable world from which he came. A sailor could sign one name in a port, be listed under another by a clerk, and acquire a third identity once he entered a pirate crew. In the uncertain waters of empire, a name could be a practical tool, a disguise, or eventually a weapon of fear. No reliable document confirms the date or place of Teach's birth. The most widely accepted possibility is that he was born around 1680, perhaps in or near Bristol, England, one of the kingdom's greatest Atlantic ports. Bristol's connection to Teach rests partly on tradition, but it is a plausible tradition. The city was deeply involved in trade with the Caribbean and North America, especially in sugar, tobacco, enslaved Africans, manufactured goods, and provisions. It was the kind of place where a boy could hear tales from Jamaica, Barbados, Virginia, and the West African coast long before he ever stepped aboard a ship. Bristol was not merely a city beside a river. It was a gateway to an expanding empire, and its wharves brought together sailors, dock workers, merchants, smugglers, naval officers, religious dissenters, and adventurers who imagined wealth lying beyond the western horizon. If Teach did grow up in Bristol or another English port, he would have come of age during a period when seafaring offered both danger and social mobility. England's growing commercial empire needed sailors in enormous numbers. Merchant vessels crossed the Atlantic with regularity, carrying products that transformed diets, industries, and fortunes on both sides of the ocean. Yet life at sea was hard. Wages could be delayed or stolen, food was often poor, disease was common, discipline could be brutal, and captains possessed enormous authority over crews. A sailor was expected to endure cramped quarters, foul water, storms, injury, and the ever-present possibility that his ship might be captured by a foreign enemy or swallowed by the sea. For many young men with limited prospects ashore, however, the sea still offered a path unavailable in rural villages or crowded towns, the possibility of travel, income, skill, and sometimes command. The Atlantic world that formed Teach was also an intensely violent place. European empires had spent the previous century competing for territory, markets, labor, and religious influence. England, France, Spain, the Dutch Republic, and Portugal had created colonies that depended on maritime power. Their ships transported soldiers, settlers, goods, and enslaved people across vast distances, while naval forces protected trade routes and attacked rival possessions. Warfare did not stop at Europe's coastlines. Whenever European powers went to war, conflict spread across the Atlantic.